You are listening to Brits in the End Zone.
You're talking like Camilla, like in stages.
Sounds like you're trying to do a Radio 1
You're listening to Brits in the End Zone. Get on with it.
Hey, let's go!
Brits in the End Zone.
Come on, let's go!
Buongiorno, podcast world, friends and foes. We are Brits in the End Zone. We are the greatest NFL UK podcast around. Not my words, Michael, the words of Shaken Stevens. Alan Partridge reference, Charles loves it. Right, what's coming up? It feels like the middle of the night because we've been doing hours of press, which is, you know, what we do now. So it's basically at one in the morning, but Charlie is keeping us stocked up on water. He's very generous like that. What's coming up on today's show? We have everything you'd expect. Dan's top three, questions, positions, fantasy, and maybe some special bits here and there. I haven't really read through the rest of this to write this properly. Let's start as we always do with the question of the week. Who's the lucky member of
Twitter?
Are you
not going to intro us?
Oh, fuck, sorry.
Come on,
well,
ads.
I thought everyone knows you all well enough, but I will intro you now.
Just in case
one
any
by
new
one. JP.
Hi, guys.
There you go. Charles.
Well, hello there.
Greeny.
Hello.
That was worth it. There we go. Okay, question of the week this week comes from Ryan, a friend of the show, at Irish Eagles Fee. If you guys each had to start a franchise with one player, who would it be? And what we've decided is we're going to exclude quarterbacks because that's the obvious answer, because everyone would go with Aaron Rodgers or the other one.
The other one being Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, so let's each pick a person and give a very short explanation as to why Greeny's throwing pencils around. JP.
I'm going to start my franchise with JJ Watt. Defense wins Super Bowls, and I would want to start my franchise with the best in the business. Stud defensive end. One of the most recognised and marketable sort of NFL players out there. So he's going to be the reason why players are going to want to come and join our franchise. He's been the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year 3 times already in his short career. And even chips in with the odd touchdown here and there. I mean, the guy's a beast and JJ Watt is the face of my franchise.
Yeah, can't really argue with that.
That's fair enough, isn't it? Charlesy, who are you saying?
I'm going to go with a very marketable young man. I'm going to go on the offensive side of the ball. You might not be a big fan of this one, Adley, but it's OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr.
I've come round to him. He's good. I've realised
he is remarkably good. I don't think he's the best wide receiver in the NFL quite yet. I think I'd probably go Julio Jones or Antonio Brown ahead of him. But because of his age, if I'm starting a franchise, I want someone with some longevity who can be the face of the franchise for years to come. And I think he could be a difference maker and win you games and be the exciting playmaker.
He'll sell you shirts as well.
He'll sell shirts, and also the odd one-handed catch won't go amiss.
Absolutely. Greeny?
Right, I'm going Von Miller, a defensive player. He plays outside linebacker, but I want a guy who's going to just cream that offense and get to the quarterback.
Creaming an offense a thing?
Steam. Let's change cream to steam.
That threw out a very different image in my mind.
Anyway, so Von Miller, he single-handedly won the Super Bowl for the Broncos. I'm going to say that against the Panthers 2 years ago. He's a funny guy. You see, for the Madden, he did like this really funny like piss take of Justin Bieber's sorry. He's also a really nice guy, buying everyone in his division a bottle of wine of his own brand. So
everyone in his team or everyone in the division?
Everyone in the division.
Does he have to buy them if they're his own brand?
Oh, is it his own brand of wine?
It's like Russell Wilson just handing out stuff that he already has.
Well, no, he sent it to everyone, like the Chargers, the Chiefs.
Nice. So he did poison theirs.
Yeah. And he's also looking at having an even better season. Apparently he went to something called chameleon training, which is where he's practiced
chameleon.
Like, I don't know, just
being invisible.
Getting past the offensive line to get to the quarterback without anyone touching him. So he's got these crazy spin moves, apparently. I want to see them in London. Come on, my team, Von.
Happy okay. Also, he loves chickens. He majored in chicken, looking after chickens at college, which I didn't know was a thing. But
we don't have that in London.
Fun fact.
No. I'm picking Rob Gronkowski. I feel like he will embody my team. He's big.
Well, they'll all be injured.
Yeah, they'll all be injured. No, he's big. He can catch. He can run. He can do other things you need to on a pitch. I think that it's good to always have a position sewn up. And I like the fact that you'll have my tight end is going to be strong. He'll do a bit of blocking, a bit of catching, and he can lead the team. He's been there. He's been part of the Patriots, obviously, you know, probably the most successful team of recent times. So for me, he's in the team for his experience and and yeah, and feasibility.
I think in terms of one player that's by far the best at their position over any other, I think Gronk is that guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's the standout man.
Okay, cool. So thanks for that, Ryan. Let's crack on with a very short little bit of news, and that is that training camp has started for all teams. So you've sort of gone along with us during the off season. It's been a little bit quiet. We've been trying to keep the excitement up, but now things are really starting to
football
to
is back.
Of, there we go. Things are starting to heat up. So training camp has started. Charles, what's been happening at training camp? You've been there, I assume.
I've been following it. I've obviously been keeping a special eye on the
Jags.
You've
been camping out in your joggers on your on your couch.
But from a Jags perspective, arguably one of the most bizarre things happened with them is that they traded in the off season with the Miami Dolphins to get Pro Bowler left tackle Brandon Albert to shore up their offensive line, and he after the second day of training camp, Dante Fowler twice absolutely rinsed him in training, and then Brandon Albert said, you know what, I'm retiring,
I've had enough.
So that was disappointing, a bit of a surprise. So now rookie left tackle Cam Robinson, who was drafted in the second round, is gonna have to be the main guy.
I've heard some other things have been happening at Jags training camp. I've heard Blake Bortles has been doing Blake Bortles things.
He's had a few up and down days. He had one
down
bad day. Yeah, but the rest of the days he was great.
We don't hear about those days. He did have
one day where he threw five interceptions in training.
It's not fashionable to talk about the good days Blake Bortles has.
No, but I thoroughly enjoyed them, and I think there'll be more of those to come.
Of sarcasm. But for Blake Bortles, a great day. He threw five passes. They all in a row. They
all
went
completed.
To the receiver.
Well, actually, the new Jags head coach got asked after that, saying, in an ideal world, how many times would Blake Bortles throw in a game? And he said zero. So,
exactly. What was he like at college?
He was the third overall pick.
Yeah, third or fourth.
When he got out of college, and he must have been quite good, and yet he has shown spells of being very good. He's just very, very erratic at times. But yeah, in terms of the unexpected news, that's the main one. But no, a couple of fun bits is, we mentioned last episode that we saw Brandon Williams, the Baltimore Ravens nose tackle, doing a bit of showing off his dance moves. He was also going round on Twitter this week because he had a dance off with about a 10-year-old girl in the crowd, and it's very, very funny. It's worth checking out, both of them showing their moves. And another one is Antonio Brown showed up to training camp being driven in a chauffeur-driven Rolls Royce, which was quite cool.
Humble.
Yes, exactly. I mean, when you're the best wide receiver and highest paid wide receiver in NFL history, why not?
Do you know who else turned up to training camp? Curtis Samuel was dropped off by his mum, the Panthers rookie wide receiver.
Was she also driving the Rolls Royce?
Just doing the rounds around America.
Yeah, exactly.
In her limo. Okay, cool. So before we move on, good chance to mention the Bites blog again, which is britsendzone.com. People out there are saying, if you're bored of Harry Potter or you've read them all, then this is the natural follow-up. We're getting quite a lot of emails coming in now, people wanting to write, which is great. People are reading them. Greeny, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about one article that was up, which I think you wrote, which was called, rather confusingly, Don't Draft This Guy When You Can Draft This Guy.
Who came up with that?
Yeah. So certainly, I'm not a journalist. I'm not a writer.
Sounds like a riddle.
I wanted to write an article to help everyone out there with the fantasy. Make some better decisions when you're drafting. And this article is about, why would you get one guy in the second round if there's someone in the sixth round providing as much value? So it's about making better decisions so you've got a more complete team. And so one of the players, I guess, I'll talk about here is that Emmanuel Sanders, who's the second wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, he is drafted in the eighth round. And instead, you've got Terrell Pryor, who's drafted in the fourth round. Terrell Pryor, he's changed position from quarterback to wide receiver. He had a productive year for himself, considering that transition at the Browns, and he was completely fed targets last year. He got 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns. Meanwhile, 5 rounds later, you got Emmanuel Sanders, who's got 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns, 2 years running, and even 3 years ago, albeit with Peyton Manning, got 1,400 yards and 9 touchdowns.
Terrell Pryor did just burn Josh Norman in training. I don't know if you've seen that yet,
cool,
but
yeah.
He's looking. I really liked Terrell
Pryor.
So Pryor
Greeny's
this
talking
year.
Shite, basically.
Well, I've seen Charles score goals in training as well. Let's wait for the real game.
I really liked Terrell Pryor this year, actually, but not at that higher price.
Yeah. Okay, I get it. Okay, we'll all go away and read up on it. But yeah, keep writing in, letting us know what you think. And if you want to write something yourself, then we'll all get back to you. And we're definitely open to you all writing articles. That's great. Moving onwards, JP, we haven't got many positions left, do we? I don't know what's up next. Something defensive based.
I think this is the last one, end of an era. It's quite emotional.
I
don't know what I'm going to talk about next week.
Well, we won't have you on. It's fine.
So, I mean, we've gone through the offense, and last week we went through the defensive line. So this week we're going to be looking at defensive backs, or the secondary, as they are often referred to. The secondary, they play behind the defensive line, and so they're basically used to defend the pass plays from the opposing quarterback. They kind of act as sort of the last line of defence against the run as well, and they need to be able to make those big tackles in the open field to stop wide receivers or running backs gaining any more yards or touchdowns. And they're basically split into two main groups. So you've got your safeties and you've got your cornerbacks, or corners as we're going to call them, and there's usually two of each on the field at the same time. So corners, I mean, these guys are basically, they're marking the wide receivers. They're stopping them from catching the ball and making yards and scoring touchdowns. They're going to try and stop the wide receivers from catching the ball by basically either smashing the ball away or trying to catch it themselves and, you know, intercepting the ball and taking it up the field themselves. You know, some of the best corners in the NFL right now. I mean, you've got your Richard Shermans.
Yeah, part of the Legion of Boom. Marcus Peters, Patrick Peterson.
Xavier Rhodes at the Vikings.
Jalen Ramsey, AJ Boye.
Are you all naming players? Or?
Well, no, these are... Well, yes, I literally am naming very good cornerbacks, so yes.
No, you're naming very average ones who play for the Jaguars. If you want to name good ones...
I'll tell you what, Ike Taylor, former pro bowler for the Steelers, named Jalen Ramsey and AJ Boye as the top cornerback duo in the NFL.
Fantastic. So, I think there was an ex-NFL player who then just rated Tom Brady as the seventh best quarterback of the last 15 years. So
Greeny, give us someone. If not the Jags, who?
Oh, I bet it's going to be the Chargers.
I'm going to go Josh Norman. Isn't he a cornerback?
He is. They just got good. Burnt by Terrell Pryor.
There you go.
No, I think Josh Norman is a good cornerback. I will say a Chargers.
I mean, you're ridiculous.
Come on then, Greeny. Who you got?
So predictable.
No, I think Marcus Peters is one of the best cornerbacks in the league.
Is it the Chiefs?
Chiefs.
Who's your Charger? Who's the main guy?
It's Jason Verrett, but the worry is he keeps getting injured. Last year, we brought Casey Hayward, who came from the Packers, relatively unknown, and had this incredible year where I think he was like the third best ranked. He went to the Pro Bowl, and he just shut the opposing wide receivers down. Incredible season. If we can get both of them playing next to each other next year, who knows? You know, we can have a shutdown defense. Yeah.
So that's our corners. We then got our safeties as well. These guys are usually helping the corners with deep pass coverage. So you've got your two safeties. You've got your strong safety that might sort of help the defensive line stopping the run. And then you've got the free safety, who's usually the faster of the two, kind of drops back to help the corners for any of those long, long throws. And then, you know, your best safeties, you're looking at, you know, Earl Thomas at the Seahawks, Cam Chancellor also at the Seahawks, Eric Berry at the Chiefs. I don't know if you guys want to shout.
Well, my old favourite player at the Eagles was Brian Dawkins, who had the cool sunglasses. I'm pretty sure he was a safety. I think a free safety, I'm not sure. And he was pretty good, so I'm going to mention him.
Cool. Yeah. And one of the best safeties of all time was Troy Polamalu, who had this, the Steelers.
Great name.
Who had great name, great hair. Probably the best hair in the business. Very... he did all the head and shoulders commercials. And
Better hair than yours?
On a par. Maybe he's got more.
He was amazing.
I mean, that kind of, you know, brings...
That wraps it up. So, now, us and our listeners know everything about every position in the NFL.
You have us to thank for that.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. If you have any questions about any positions or feel like we haven't covered anything, then... ask, write in,
tweet us.
But I'm sorry, basically.
No, maybe I'll throw out a few historical cornerbacks who were the best. So Rod Woodson, 71 interceptions.
Oh, yeah. That is a lot. That is a lot.
And Deion Sanders, I've talked about in the past. So these are guys...
Is he a cornerback?
Yes, he was.
Yeah. All right.
Cornerback. Cool. So these are the guys we've talked about in previous podcasts. just letting you know these are the positions they play.
It's like the circle of life.
Absolutely.
I think quarterback's quite a fun position. You kind of just like run down the line and just smack the ball out of the air. I mean, it's obviously harder than that, but like, I don't know, I feel like I quite like it. But then I also feel like you probably get a lot of shit thrown at you when people are bringing down catches and receptions,
it's your fault.
Whereas the free safety maybe can kind of just like move about their business and whatever happens happens.
But you can see like like Sherman, you know, he's known for being a proper smash talker
in and your face,
you know, saying you're not going to pass on me, you know, I'm not going to
smash
let that happen.
Talker. That trash talker.
He's talks.
He's a proper smash talker.
Yeah. Well, you know, he talks trash to anyone
it's
who
like a
tries
shit
to
is superhero.
but that's because they have that persona. They have to have that self confidence. I will not let anyone throw it on me. You know, you have quite a few of those guys, and Jalen Ramsey, I know I've mentioned him before, but as a rookie,
you're not allowed to talk about any more Jags.
He
the
has
rest
that
of this
air
episode.
About him that he will not. He's not gonna. He had two games one on one with DeAndre Hopkins, who was very good and just absolutely.
But Brock Osweiler was throwing the ball.
Well, you can't be an insecure cornerback, is what Charles is saying. You've got to be full of beans.
And it's a very powerful position because it could stop quarterbacks throwing your half of the field for pretty much. The
whole
if
you're game. Known to be kind of like nothing's going to
get
caught.
Off.
Yeah,
and also it helps the defensive line because if the cornerbacks are marking the wide receivers effectively enough, it means they have to wait that extra half a second to find another option, which means that you've got an extra amount of time that your defensive line can sack the quarterback. So it all adds up.
Cool. Okay, I think that's positions done. Before we move on, we will mention our sponsors during halftime snacks, and they are Zing Zing. MSG-free Chinese. We mention it every week because they give us a lovely offer of 20% off your food. You just have to use the code NZZ20. Again, always really struggle with that.
I thought you did quite well this week.
NZZ20. They are based around London in various locations, Finsbury Park, Kentish Town, Kensal Rise, and Elephant and Castle, and hopefully in more and more areas soon. So get your Zing Zing in. And I think they're actually going to be sponsoring our fantasy leagues, aren't they? So we'll tell you more about that in due course once we make sure they agree to it. Cool, so let's move on to a bit of fantasy chat. We spoke about some of the NFL conference divisions in our last episode. So we wanted to break down some of the teams and also, more importantly, some of the most important fantasy relevant players for those teams. So what's coming up first? Greeny, you're going to do a little intro to the division maybe?
Yeah, so we're going to go through the NFC North and the NFC West. So I'll just take you through the NFC North, brief introduction, and then 1 minute per team. We'll take you through the fantasy relevant players, as we mentioned. So NFC North is the oldest in the NFL based on combined ages of the four teams. It's called the Black and Blue Division based on how physical the teams were historically, and the Frostbite Division because it's bloody cold in the North. That was my
that
Game
was
of Thrones.
That was the worst, actually.
That's awful.
So, never mind. So Packers have won the five of the last six division titles. They've absolutely dominated as of late. But the Vikings dominated. They won like 13 out of 15 in the 1970s and have won the most overall. So that was quite interesting for me.
I would have guessed the Bears.
Yeah.
So you'd have been wrong.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So you've got like since 1920, the Vikings have won 19, the Packers have won 18, the Bears have won 18, and the lowly Lions on 4.
All to play for this year.
All to play for. Okay, so guys, fantasy relevant players. Greeny, kick us off with the Lions.
Okay, I'll take it through quick. So we've got Golden Tate, who was an anonymous receiver in the league with the Seahawks. Then he became an understudy to Megatron under the Lions. When Megatron got injured, that is when he exploded into life. And he's kind of been an important piece for Stafford ever since. And he gets you somewhere between 1,000 yards and 5 touchdowns. We could see this coming more this year. Amir Abdullah. The Cardinals wanted Abdullah more than David Johnson, but the Lions snapped him up. He's not done anything as of yet in the league because he's been injured, but he could be a top 15 running back. Eric Ebron, I've talked about him before. This could be the breakout year. Eric Ebron. if he just takes some
You're
of the
Anquan
Boldin touchdowns. And Matty Stafford, a late round quarterback.
Late round. Okay. Charlesy, you got the Vikings.
Brilliant. We mentioned it with in our bite-size segment with Matt Harmon.
I don't know if the listeners would have heard that yet, so that's going to mean absolutely nothing.
Check it out if you want to.
Well, it's not live yet.
This is all one part of your 1 minute.
No.
Stephon
Diggs, wide receiver, he has the potential to be a great bargain as a mid to late round wide receiver, and he could easily be a top 20 wide receiver. draft him if you can. Dalvin Cook at running back could develop into a very good option. He's a rookie. Latavius Murray's there, who might provide a bit of a distraction, but Dalvin Cook has more ability, so overall should win out. Kyle Rudolph at tight end, he's a good pick to have in a few later rounds. Very, very sturdy guy, very reliable. And I wouldn't draft their quarterback, but their defensive at the DST, their defense, like we mentioned before, they've got Xavier Rhodes, they've got a very good defensive unit, and that's one maybe to look out for towards the very end of your draft.
Okay, JP, you're taking the Packers, the best of the bunch, really, in my eyes.
Okay, only as of late.
Yeah.
Did your Vikings voice drop on the word only? Charlie, can we get that just replayed on loop for the intro?
Okay, so the Packers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, stud quarterback. Play him every week. He's number one. Ty Montgomery, starting running back for the Packers. He's going to be a three-down back for one of the best offenses in the league. He showed what he can do last year with limited opportunities and has the upside to be, a top-10 running back this year. Jordy Nelson, great comeback year last year from injury, finished overall as the wide receiver too. He's Rodgers' go-to man, and he's just a touchdown machine. Devontae Adams finished as the wide receiver 7 last year, but that was incredibly efficient. Don't overdraft him this year. Unlikely to perform as well again this coming year, but could still be a low-end wide receiver 2 flex option. And then Martellus Bennett as well. They signed him this year as their tight end. I mean, he's the most talented tight end Rodgers has had to work with in a good while. Not sure how many targets he's going to get in such a crowded offense, but if you don't get one of the big 3 or 4 tight ends early in your draft, this guy is quite a good late flyer.
Did you say Jordy Nelson was a second wide receiver 2?
As in the overall number,
he was the second best wide receiver
in the whole
last
league?
Year. Last year,
after the whole world.
No, after Brown. Mike Evans.
Mike Evans, sorry.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that. I've been left with the Bears. I don't know that much about their players. I know Jordan Howard, their running back. He's their main man, isn't he? So is he going to go in the first round of draft?
Probably early second.
I've I know about Mike Trubisky as the rookie quarterback. Probably not worth taking him.
Mitch Trubisky.
Whatever his name is. I've got Mike written down. That's all that matters. So don't take him. So basically, I've got Jordan Howard and the rest of the Bears. Don't bother with.
Cameron Meredith is a late round wide receiver.
Okay.
Watch out for
there
him.
You go.
And that's a bad
I kind
end.
Of said yeah. it. Charlesy, tell us about the NFC West.
The NFC West, it's not a very strong division. The most historically successful team in the division is the San Francisco 49ers, having won the Super Bowl 5 times. But right now, they're probably one of the worst teams in the NFL.
Pants. So,
yes, exactly. to summarise how unsuccessful this division's been, the Cardinals, who are part in the division as well, Arizona now, but they are actually the oldest franchise in the NFL to have never won a Super Bowl. So that's a lovely thing for them. And also, the Seahawks only won their first ever Super Bowl in 2013. So that was two of the teams hadn't won it until a couple of years ago. And final point to sum up the weakness in the division is that in 2010, the Seahawks became the first ever NFL team in the history of the whole of American football to win their division with a losing record.
So they 7-9. Who did that?
The Seahawks.
That's
hilarious. Yeah. So that they finished on 7-9 and won the division. So that was
And they knocked out the Saints, who won the Super Bowl the year before.
There we go. Well, there we go.
Okay, Charles, you're on a roll. Do you want to kick us off with the Arizona Cardinals?
I will indeed. Probably one of the stronger teams now in this division, mainly because of this one guy, David Johnson. He is the focal point of the offense and is, in all honesty, likely to be the number one pick in most fantasy drafts. I mean, just everything. He can run, he can catch, he can do the lot. He scores touchdowns, absolute star. Wide receiver, they've got future Hall of Famer Larry Fitzgerald, who in a PPR format is going to be a lot better, I think. But he's still a very good wide receiver to take. And a late-round sleeper who could have a big improved season is John Brown. We've mentioned him in the podcast before. And the fact that, you've got those two wide receivers and David Johnson who can catch the ball as well would suggest that maybe Carson Palmer could be a sleeky date quarterback if you
sleaky.
Want.
A sneaky
late quarterback. Because, even 2 years ago, he was the quarterback number 5, had a really bad year last year. But, he could come back again, if everything falls in the right place. And again, the defence. Top notch, Patrick Peterson.
That's well recovered.
Did well there, yeah. That was all a rather large mouthful. JP, we're giving you the Rams of Los Angeles nature.
It's going to be nice and quick.
So surely is nothing.
I mean, I said on the last podcast, Jared Goff, don't draft him, but he could become a streamable matchup based option. Yeah. I like what Sean McVay's doing with that offense, and I think he could become fantasy relevant later in the year.
From the 10 seconds you saw on.
I've done a lot of research.
JP's
on the
been
Rams
in Los
year.
Angeles, actually, at camp.
I'm going to do some research.
There we go. Happy days.
Todd Gurley, I mean, he disappointed everyone who drafted him in the first round last year. Likely to go end of the second, third round this year. He's guaranteed touches and opportunity, though. He's got a really high upside. If he gets back to those rookie performances, he's going to do you good. I mean, I'll just touch on the Rams wide receivers. I mean, Tavon Austin, Robert Woods, or Cooper Kupp. I just like saying Cooper Kupp.
And Farrah Cooper.
He's their rookie this year. Who's
Cooper
that?
Kupp is his name.
Cooper yeah. Kupp, Cooper great name. I mean, in deep leagues, you know, with 12 or more people, it might be worth taking a shot as a very late round wide receiver flyer. Someone's going to have to catch the ball. Yeah. I mean, Kenny Britt got over 1,000 yards last year.
And he's British, so. Yeah.
So, I mean, someone's going to do something. And okay. That's about it.
Greeny, Seahawks.
Cool. Quite a few more players here. You've got Doug Baldwin. He doesn't get a lot of hype, but he's been a top 10 wide receiver the last few years. He's got great chemistry with Russell Wilson. I really like him, and he's known as one of the best route runners in the game.
Weird
I know
that.
It sounds really route, weird saying route, yeah, but I can't runners. Say route. I can't do it. You got Fat Man Lacy, Eddie Lacy. He's an elite running back. Back in 2014, he was elite running back back in 2014. He's really struggled with his weight ever since. They should feed him a lot of the ball.
I think he's had enough food.
He actually had
a problem in the first place.
He actually had another weigh-in today. I'm just going to look up to see if
stand
he's
by for those results.
I'll just run through
keep
the
going,
rest. Jimmy Graham, I think, go back to being a tight end one. He is. He's going to get you somewhere between 5 and 10 touchdowns and maybe 1,000 yards, which is really good at the tight end position.
Second best tight end in fantasy last year.
And I expect that to continue. Russell Wilson will run less, should throw more, and he's a reliable target. Russell Wilson, I've just mentioned, he is always hyped as a big QB, but he never really reflects that same kind of potential. He's not that big of a fantasy QB at this point. There's so many options. There's 15 you can grab. Don't get him until later rounds.
Okay, cool. I've been left with the 49ers. You can tell by my picks here that I was last on the group chat to pick a team because I've been given the Bears and the 49ers, which seems a bit stupid because I know the least about NFL and you've picked the teams that I know probably the least about because they're the shittest.
Well, they've got least noteworthy players, so it's enough.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't have to talk about much. Yeah. So I've got Carlos Hyde, running back, if I'm correct, for the 49ers. What do we reckon? He's a running back too for teams in fantasy. Does that make sense?
Well, there was talk of him potentially getting cut last week, but if he is on the team, they're going to use him.
He's probably their best player.
There you go. Carlos Hyde, take him. I've got Pierre Garçon as maybe a flex wide receiver. I've had him in teams. He's always disappointed me, but he can be quite good.
He's the main guy now.
Well, he's being hyped up for a big year.
Big
hype. Especially
hype.
Any form of PPR.
And their quarterback, Brian Hoyer, has been around the block, hasn't he? He's been at the Texans, Bears, everywhere. So,
he's been quite good in fantasies as a streamable option against some
What
bad
is a
defense.
Streamable option?
Like,
mean?
You know, if you're...
If they're playing the Browns...
If
you haven't got someone who you're willing to start week in, week out, you can stream your quarterback. So he's someone you can pick up off of the waiver buyer who won't get anyone's
change it weekly.
I don't think he's going to be a streamer this year.
Don't bother.
He was at the Bears last year.
Okay. So that's it. That's the division. Let's move on to Dan's top three.
Welcome to Dan's top three. I want that to be a plug. Okay. So
a plug. You can't plug yourself.
Jingle.
Jingle. You mean? Yeah.
Okay. So during the training, what's it called? Training center?
Training
camp. There's been a lot of fan interaction, and it really got me thinking. You know, what are these guys like in college? And I may have mentioned earlier in the podcast, I went to college, so I'm going to kick off. I went to college in South Carolina. So I'm going to take you through some fun interactions people have had with NFL players. So, talking about my interactions with South Carolina players, you've got Stephon Gilmore. He's the cornerback now of the New England Patriots. He arrived as a freshman on campus, and I'd see him strolling around with his black socks and big flip-flops. He was just a very cool, smooth guy, and I'm sure at one point he crossed the road in the middle of the night. He just said, "Hey." And then he just stopped the car, got in it. That's how cool he was on campus. Kenny Miles was the starting running back at the time. Never made it to the NFL. But he would stop me and he would give me props for my Ralph Lauren gear. Recently, unfortunately, he tried to commit suicide. But
let's not go there.
Sorry about that. So, Tory Gurley, this is a good story. We were playing international five-on-five kind of touch football with the rugby guys. I think Kenny Miles at this point wanted to chat to some girls, so I filled in. I was very drunk on Four Loko, and I went to tackle one of the rugby guys. I ended up running straight into Tory Gurley, who's the second wide receiver to Alshon Jeffrey at the Gagos, and knock him straight over. We both knocked backwards.
You didn't knock him over, did you?
I did. He's a big guy, Bollocks. But I...
Yeah, and you're
you,
not.
Yeah, you did just say you were very drunk. I think you fell over and just assumed...
The story came back in your head.
Yeah. Say his name is Tory, or her name is Tory, or...
His name is Tory, the wide receiver.
Okay. Just, yeah. His surname's Gurley as well, yeah. It doesn't help.
And he's played for 8 to 10 practice squads in the NFL, and he played in Canada a bit.
He's never going to bounce back from being hit down by you.
You ruined his career.
Yeah. So, and then from the South Carolina lot, Jadeveon Clowney, when I went back...
Wait,
to,
can you say his first name again?
Jadeveon Clowney. Yeah, okay. Sounds better, more French if you're Jadeveon. Jadeveon Clowney.
It also sounds wrong.
I went to revisit. He only joined the year after I left. And I thought I'd go up to him and say, hey, man, you're a big legend over in the UK. I went to, he's so big and terrifying, my legs went weak. I had no chance. I didn't even move.
But then, and he went flying over.
And he's never down. And he's never recovered since.
Yeah. Cool. Did you call him Jelavon Ebron?
All right, so that was all part of number three.
That was just three.
All right, I'm going to roll the next one.
Zing's waiting.
Yeah. Okay, so Ray Rice, who is no longer with the Baltimore Ravens, he was doing an exam at Rutgers where he went to, and he hands in his test after 10 minutes, and the teaching assistant says, surely you can't be done already. And he responds, Ray don't take no tests. Y'all take the test, but Ray don't take no test. Ray Ray is a wanker.
Yeah, didn't he get cut from the Baltimore Ravens for hitting his kids?
Hitting his wife in the lift, and there was public. Oh, so he's been completely blackballed in the NFL.
He is a wanker.
He's a wanker. And number one, our boy Lynch. Beast mode. Lynch. He went to college in the University of California, and he goes into a class a few minutes early, sits in the back, pulls out two PSPs, and announces to the class, who here want to play Marshawn Lynch at NCAA football, being the game. Some dude accepts, and they end up playing against each other during class. Beast Mode, of course, won just by playing himself as Cal, just playing running through him every single time.
Is this a PlayStation game or something?
Yeah, like the mini PSPs you can get.
Okay, sorry.
Imagine just sitting in the back playing Marshawn Lynch, and he's just playing as himself, running through you every time.
It's almost as cool as running over a wide receiver too. Not quite.
What happened?
Okay, of course it did. All right, let's move on to your questions, tweets, emails, shout-outs, all that kind of stuff. We're going to start off with... the Arizona Cardinals UK. So at AZ Cardinals UK. JP, this is coming your way. Do you see the Cardinals bouncing back from their horrendous season in 2016, especially with the weaker Seahawks in their division?
I'm not as confident as Charles, as he just spoke about the Cardinals. I definitely don't see the Seahawks being weaker. I think the Seahawks are going to be better than they were last year. I think Carson Palmer, Larry Fitz, they're both a year older. They do have David Johnson, you know, the main man, and John Brown's fit and healthy again, which will massively help the offense. I watched All or Nothing recently, the Cardinals season, and I really like Bruce Arians, so I do hope they have a much better year this year, but I can only see the Seahawks winning that division.
I quite like the Cardinals. If I wasn't an Eagles fan, I think I might be a Cardinals fan just because my...
It's too late to change.
I'm not going to change I want to, but I'm not Charles. My wife's got family who will live out in Arizona, so that's kind of like a nice connection.
Arizona's very cool.
Yeah. I mean, it also seems like a bit of it is just kind of for like a lot of old people, which they are, just like a nice kind of area. But maybe there's a party side as well.
It's got the biggest party town in Tampa.
Ah, turns out her like 80-year-old uncle is pretty fucking hit. There we go. Was that the official Arizona Cardinals UK? I say that, I don't know how big that is, but thanks for writing in, all three of you.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I really think the Cardinals are going to win this division this year, so...
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, Lee. That's not the Lee that we've mentioned before. This is Lee at...
He's later on.
Yeah, at Lee Top Landing. Maybe he's a fan of the band Top Loader. do you guys think the London games are too neutral at the stadium? Does the home team lose the home fans in the field painting? Oh, the field pen. Yeah, okay. Greeny?
Yeah, so I've been to about 10 games in London, and apart from the flag that they give you, I honestly couldn't tell the difference who's at home, who's away. there needs to be more kind of dividing it. Maybe they do a bit more publicity. They get the players out there and they try to do like their home soundtrack.
But the problem is, unless you're a fan of, you know, for the people who are like just given the banners who aren't a fan of a team, that's because they don't really, they can pretend they're a fan of that team, but they're not really passionate. And then I personally, my answer is it's absolutely mental. I mean, I love the games coming over here, but I think it's completely bonkers.
You've got jerseys from all 32 teams in that stadium. It's not going to be a home game, traditional home game, is it?
Maybe they could do things like a football pitch, which they're playing on, is going to be very different to an NFL pitch. Maybe only the home team can practice on the pitch in advance, like even it out.
I don't know. I mean, as much as I love seeing the games here, I just think it's complete bonkers.
Yeah, in its current form, it certainly is less beneficial than being in front of your own fans.
Jags don't win any games.
That's
their last
true.
Two games here, they've won.
That's
this is their
true.
Home team.
I think the home team should fly out like 10,000 of like ultra fans.
They do that. Have you not seen the bands that come in?
That's a good shout. But then I guess the whole point is that you don't get UK any Londoners fans. Or UK
yeah,
fans.
It sells out quick enough without that.
Yeah. I don't want you on the tourist board negotiation for a London team.
No, best I stay away from that. I've been banned. Sam B at Dunham, because I don't know how to say that anyway. is there a problem at the Dallas Cowboys in terms of management's stance on players' off-field antics? This has been assigned to me. I'm not 100% sure what the question is about. There's obviously a lot of stuff going down in Dallas. Charles, can you help me out?
Well, one of the things is that they had a rookie wide receiver who got arrested for shoplifting. The immediate stance was, we're cutting you, and that, you know, you're done. Then a couple of days later, it came out the police just said, "Oh, you were the wrong person. You're completely innocent." And they were like, "Oh no, we've made our decision. We're sticking by it." And you know, that sort of hardline stance is something they've been not going to say criticised on, but obviously more prominently Ezekiel Elliott's issues. He may or may not be facing suspension, and whether or not they have that same hardline issue with him as a much bigger
star
name
player,
is something that might be interesting to see, and how well they they deal with that. But, you know, it's hard to say at this point because, you know, the announcement hasn't made yet.
Okay,
but you know, we'll have to see.
Wasn't that rookie wide receiver? What was his name? Like Lucky.
Yeah,
I think his name was Lucky.
His name
and
was Lucky.
When he got cut by the Cowboys, he got wavered and picked up by the Jets.
That's not very lucky.
not so lucky. Best for so, Lucky. Yeah.
I think he's now the biggest name wide receiver on the Jets.
That whole situation just makes me think of the Bob Dylan song Hurricane. Anyone know the reference there? No? You should watch the film with Denzel.
It's great.
I've seen the film, actually.
Yeah. You should listen to the song. The song's in it about 10 times. Anyway, moving onwards to Stuart Ray at Stu_Rob_Ray. Who will be the best in the AFC West? Ooh. And is this the NFL's most competitive division? J to the P.
I got to agree. It is a super competitive division, this one. You know, you've got the Chiefs, the Broncos, the Raiders.
And
the Chargers. I mean, you've got two great defences and sort of the Chiefs and the Broncos, and two sort of stacked offences and sort of the Raiders and the Chargers. I mean, for me, I found it actually really hard trying to pick a winner of this division. I've gone for the Raiders.
Yeah.
I think the Chiefs are just
so disappointing.
I think the Chiefs are just going to be lacking a little bit on offence, and the Chargers are just going to have too many injuries to deal with again.
Yeah.
So
no, I agree with that. They just get injured all the time. They just dent my hopes.
Are Denver's defence not going to take them to another title?
Von Miller's playing in London with me, so
I don't think they are. They're just not good enough on offence this year. There's only so much a defence can do.
Well, you know, CJ Anderson being fit for a whole year, Demaryius Thomas is still an elite wide receiver.
I mean, but with Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch under centre, I don't
Manning
see it.
And Brock Osweiler, you know, won the Super Bowl, and they were both.
Where does Demaryius Thomas go these days in drafts?
Third, fourth round.
Is that just because he's got older or no Peyton Manning.
Okay. Yeah.
We've got a rather large question here from our friend Rob Wastenany. who are your top three teams in each of their AFC and NFC and the worst teams in each? So I'm going to give Greeny to answer the AFC, but three best, three worst, very quickly. Do you have an answer to this?
It's boring Patriots, but Patriots are there. Steelers on the assumption that Brian is reinstated and Bell is playing no contract malarkey. and then the Chargers, assumption of no injury.
Obviously.
I've got, no.
Why didn't you say the Jags?
I've been very modest the last few podcasts, but now, you know what? I just want to go all in. I want to believe this year. I want to go back to it. And then the worst team is, it's the Jets, but I just want to say the Browns as well.
I don't believe
they've recovered that much. They may get 3 wins.
It's going to be great when we're watching games with JP and the Browns start doing well. I'm going to enjoy it. Unless they start leaving the Eagles and we're last place, and then it'll be annoying. Charlesy, NFC best 3 and worst 3.
The best 2 are easy, I think. They're the Packers and the Falcons. You know, the Falcons obviously got to the Super Bowl last year, and I think they've got a very good chance of doing well again this year. Packers have got Aaron Rodgers. That's enough. And then in terms of other good, another good team, the Cowboys are very good, but the Saints and the Redskins are also sneaky.
With all the Cousins problems with management.
They're still quite a good team, but we'll see. But in terms of the worst teams, and like I mentioned before, like Adley mentioned, the ones that Adley got stuck with earlier were the 49ers and the Bears. And so not only the worst teams in the divisions we happen to be talking about, but the worst teams in the entire National Football Conference.
Okay, there we go. Moving onwards to Fraser Robertson's question. Do you think Aaron Donald should leave the Rams to win a Super Bowl with another team instead of wasting his career in LA? This has been assigned to me. Interesting. I think about Barnett players who have left, because that's it's not quite the same, but at Barnett we bring up all these fantastic footballers like Nikki Bailey, Trezor Kandel,
Jason Punchin, and
most importantly Jason Punchin. And my example here was to say, think how much happier Jason Punchin would be as if he was still playing a football in Barnet, which is no longer in Barnet, annoyingly, and is actually in Edgware, further from my house. But anyway, so the answer is no, he should stay and be the stud on the team rather than being a smaller fish in a bigger pond.
He'd be a big fish in any pond.
Well, yeah,
okay. He's
he's big, but metaphorically, physically, and existentially, you know what I mean. So that's it. And we're going to wrap up our questions from our friend Lee from across the pond in the States in Chicago, Lee Abrahams. How early does Rob Gronkowski go in drafts? Charlie, are you awake? Maybe let's ask you this question. Rob Gronkowski. He's panicking. He doesn't know where he is. He's got crisps in hand. He's got a beer. He's sat back. He does not know where he is.
Does Rob Gronkowski go in draft?
Does he go in the first round, second round, picking him first
third
overall?
He's a bit showy, really, isn't he? I don't know if you want to pick him up too early.
He might get to his head. What a great answer.
Keep him motivated through the season.
There you go. Don't bother with him at all. As from our expert engineer, Charlie. Fantastic. Charlie, back over to you for a bit of trivia before we end the evening at 4 in the morning.
Right, you guys know the drill. You've got 3 questions to pick from. You've got the 2 from last week. Week that you didn't pick, which is winning and close calls, and then you got the new one, Super Bowl 1.
Ooh, should we go for close calls?
Close calls, I was feeling close that calls. One as well. Yeah.
Today's been a close call because we almost didn't do it.
And and next podcast, we need to
drama.
Where are we? Who's winning this?
Back to Charlie for the question.
Yeah, I think I'll have to do a tally and work out where you guys are winning. I think you've all got fractions of points.
Yeah,
sounds about right.
Who did the New York Giants beat by a point in the closest Super Bowl ever? And can you tell me the score?
I know they won by a point.
Charlie just said that.
I know.
That was the joke. I'll go 49ers, and it was 39-38.
I'll go the Cowboys. Who won? Yeah, I'll go the Cowboys. They're in the same division. I'll completely
doesn't matter.
I'm going to go the Raiders.
Cowboys, and it was 28-27.
Okay.
Raiders 21-20.
Yeah. All right. They've recently played the Patriots twice. One of them was
by we don't know.
Don't care
show
about
off,
that. Granny. Just
go
name.
Patriots 21-20.
I just said 20.
Anyway, did Charlie.
Did anyone say the Bills?
Definitely
not. I just forgot they existed as a
My
team.
My girlfriend's a Bills fan, so she'll like that.
So it's the Buffalo Bills in 1991. The Giants defeated the Bills by the score of 20-19. So JP and Daniel.
And they were both wrong.
Close.
They were both epically wrong. That was a good question. I like that one.
Just want to plug a quick video, if that's all right.
Oh,
go for it.
If anyone's interested in scores and the maths of NFL, there's a great YouTube video called Scorigami. Talking about the least likely scores in NFL over the years. And He basically goes over every single game and records the first time that, you know, 36-21 has happened. It's quite interesting. It doesn't sound it, but it's
It certainly doesn't. But Charlie, how much are you being paid by Scoregarden?
I don't want to talk about that.
we need a better agent.
We'll tweet it out.
We all need Molly as our agent. thanks for listening. Do tweet us at Brits_endzone. I think I got that hashtag wrong, or sorry, that Twitter handle wrong at some point. Anyway, it's at Brits_endzone, or email us at BritsEndzone@gmail.com. And that's all we've got time for.
And thanks. BritsEndzone.com for the blog.
Oh, correct. Yeah, that as well.
All nice one. Happy days.
Everything.
Peace out.
Ooh. Bye.
Have a good one. See ya.